It's Wendy in for John Williams today. And can we talk television? Because I absolutely love TV. And Alex Zalbin is on the line with us. And you can find him at comicbookclublive.com. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on, Wendy.
Absolutely. First of all, you know how much I like TV, and I like talking TV with you. And I have to tell you, I am not normally someone who loves these kind of shows, but I'm telling you, Peacemaker is one of the best shows I have ever watched. And I guess the finale is coming up the end of this week.
Yeah, so Peacemaker, if people aren't familiar, it's on HBO Max. It's not an HBO show. You can just find it on the streaming service. But it's a DC Comics-based show that stars John Cena, and it starts as him being a character who demands peace at any cost, which means he'll just kind of kill anybody he needs to get peace. But the thing that has been so smart and so interesting about the second season, which spins off of Superman, the new movie that was in theaters and is setting up the next Superman movie, so it's part of this big DC universe, DC Comics-based universe that James Gunn is building up, is he keeps it really focused on the character, and this is not going to sound at all, but how he is wrestling with what his place in the world is, even though there are these heroes like Superman that do really superheroic things. So where is a place for somebody like him who only knows how to kill? So it's very funny. It's super raunchy, incredibly adult. There's tons of nudity and cursing and over-the-top subjects. But at the same time, it's maybe the best acting job John Cena has ever done. He's really doing some incredibly emotional work, some incredibly funny work, some great action in every single episode of the show. And like you said, the finale is coming up on Thursday night at 9 p.m. streaming on HBO Max. So plenty of time to watch the first season, which is great. Watch the second season was great. You don't have to watch Superman. You don't have to watch anything else. You can just watch the show and enjoy, but adults only.
And yes, adults only, but I have never really been that big of a fan of John Cena, and he has completely won me over. And the best part of this show, Alex, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the show open.
Yes.
Explain this.
Well, you can't spoil it. It came out years ago, but they do this very straight-faced dance number for the opening with the entire cast.
It's
where
great.
Nobody cracks a smile the entire time. The first one, they changed up the music for the second season to tie thematically with what they're dealing with in the second season, but it's so funny and so good. And one of the things that's kind of amazing about it is the more you watch a particular season of the show, the more you start to pick up on, oh, yeah, that dance move is in there because of this plot point. So when you first watch it, it looks weird and funny, and it's different from the over-the-top action show you're watching. But it's really just like a very smartly done piece of entertainment that just gets better and better and better with every single episode.
And I adore Tim Meadows, and he is so funny in this show. I just really like it. And it's normally not my cup of tea, mm-hmm. but it totally works. And there's also The Boys, which is a show, and that's not normally my cup of tea either, but I love that. When does that come back?
Well, The Boys isn't coming back until probably sometime next year for the final season. But if you are a fan of that superhero show on Prime Video, you should definitely check out Gen V, which is a college set spinoff of the show. The sixth episode is premiering this Wednesday. That's early in the morning, 3 a.m. streaming time. You don't have to get up for that, but you can check it out then. And it is going to be a big one, without spoiling anything, for The Boys fans. One of the things that's been going on this season is we've been following these characters in their sophomore year at a college for superheroes, is it really does feel more than ever like The Boys season 4.5. There are nonstop characters from the main show showing up. It's really tying into the overall world, which, if you know The Boys, has been taken over by the evil Superman character. Talking about Superman a lot tonight. Evil Superman character, Homelander. He has risen to take over America, so the show Gen V is reflecting that as well. But it's really great on its own. The cast is great. It's as smart as usual. It's as satirical. It has a lot to say about college campuses and very pressing and timely things as well, given everything that's going on in the world there. So while you are waiting for The Boys, highly recommend checking out Gen D as well.
All right, perfect. 630 has texted and wants to know if Platonic is coming back. And I have to tell you, Seth Rogen is my secret crush, although I say it all the time, so it's not a secret anymore. But I absolutely loved The Studio. It's no wonder they won so many awards. But this show called Platonic, featuring him and his co-star, who I never heard of before, and I love them both together.
Oh, yes. So this is Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne. They worked together before on Neighbors, I believe. And the sequel, Neighbors, which is very, very funny. It's about a normal suburban couple that moves in next door to a fraternity, and things get a little wild from there. But they are fantastic together. The initial concept of Platonic is right in the title. They are two absolutely platonic friends, and the ideas that they started with is, what if you did When Harry Met Sally, but they're not supposed to get together at the end? What if it's just they are actually friends, but everybody around them says, oh, yeah, but you guys are going to get together? And it just sort of shows how they mess up each other's lives. It's on Apple TV Plus, and the second season just finished up. It is great. It's just the perfect, hilarious hangout comedy. And to answer the question that I think we were getting at, it hasn't been renewed for a third season yet, but I expect it will, because Apple TV Plus is definitely in the Seth Rogen business, and it ends in a place where it gives a very clear setup for what season three should be.
Yay.
So fingers crossed there's more.
All right, 773, I'm a big fan of the Thursday Murder Club. Please ask Alice if there are going to be more episodes or movies coming. I'm unaware of this, the Thursday Murder Club.
Yes, so this is a movie that premiered on Netflix back in August, I want to say, and it has an all-star cast. You got Helen Mirren, Pierce Brosnan, Ben Kingsley, a couple of other folks in there. It's directed by Chris Columbus, who, among other things, directed a few of the Harry Potter movies, though people probably know him for other things better. We don't know about a sequel, I don't think, yet, but it did pretty well, and it received generally positive reviews. It certainly seems like the sort of thing that Netflix would want to do more of, and I imagine it's not one of the regular $200 million budgeted features. So I don't really know about a sequel to it, but usually these are the sort of things we'll find out about in the next month or two based on Netflix's ratings, so stay tuned.
All right, 630, a different caller, or texter, I should say. Is Alex watching Task? It started a little slow, so I'm not sure if I'm going to stick with it, wondering what Alex thinks. I don't know what Task is either.
Good question. So this is one I've actually missed, but I've talked to a lot of folks about it. This is a HBO show, also streams on HBO Max. It's a mystery series starring Mark Ruffalo as a FBI agent who's sort of at the end of his rope here, dealing with a bunch of different things happening in a... small town, but he's dealing with a bunch of very intense situations. It comes from the creator of Mayor of Easttown. And my recommendation, I would say, just not having gotten around to watching the show yet, but talk to other folks, is I would say stick with it just because Mayor of Easttown was so good, and that's a show that stuck the landing. So I tend to think of these things not necessarily slow, but careful. They know what they're doing. They're laying in the pieces. And beyond Mark Ruffalo, you got Amelia Jones, Fabian Frankel, a bunch of other great folks in the cast. So, if it's not your thing, you never have to watch anything beyond the point you want to watch it. But looking ahead, there's 7 episodes, so it's very manageable. And again, looking back at Mayor of Easttown, I think there's every chance this show will end up in a satisfying way.
All right. And that's called Task. All right, The Chair Company, what's this? I don't know about this either. I'm so unplugged. I spent my whole summer watching Big Brother. And by the way, James Gunn was on Big Brother, you know. He was a super fan, and that shocked me.
Technically, Big Brother is part of the DC Comics-based universe, and you can't prove that it's not. The Chair Company, though, on the Tim Robinson beat, that's you should definitely be checking this out. This premieres
I love him.
Sunday, October 12th on HBO and HBO Max at 10 p.m. And if people don't know Tim Robinson, he started as SNL, but he has a hit show on Netflix called I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson, which is a weird, wild sketch comedy show that has produced 1 million memes online. But this is a little bit closer to a movie that he did called Friendship that I don't know if people checked out. But that was him and Paul Rudd. He becomes sort of obsessed single white female style with Paul Rudd, this perfect casino guy who moves in down the street from him. And that went to some sort of weird horror places as well as comedy places. The Chair Company is the same. They're keeping the the concept of the show secret, but I think all you really need to know is Tim Robinson works at a company. Something very embarrassing happens to him.
Surprise,
and he
surprise.
Ending up in sort of like a conspiracy thriller type situation. So it's a mix of conspiracy thrillers and Tim Robinson being weird and weird people in his world. And that's coming up on Sunday. And if you're a fan already, you should check it out. If not, check it out anyway, because you're going to not know what's going on.
I just love Tim Robinson, and I'm really not quite sure why, but he makes me laugh in such a stupid way. I love it. Wendy Snyder in for John Williams, and we're talking to Alex Zalbin today. Alex, October 7th marks a year of those attacks, and there are not one, but two different shows that are going to look back at that.
Yeah, so this is looking back on the October 7th attacks in 2023 in Israel or around Israel and Palestine that have had, as I'm sure we're all aware, a lot of repercussions in the intervening years.
Yeah, and 2 years. I'm like, sorry, I said 1 year. It's 2 years.
Oh, no, that's okay. It's been a weird couple of years.
Yeah.
There are two shows. They're both dramatic shows, both coming out October 7th. So these are not documentaries. And they were both made in Israel right after the October 7th attacks. One of them is called Red Alert, and that's premiering on Paramount Plus on October 7th. And that one is, I believe, 4 episodes. And then there's another one called One Day in October. That's a 7-episode anthology drama series, and that's coming out on HBO Max. And weirdly, they have sort of the same tact in both of them, which is taking an anthology approach to show different people from different walks of life who were affected by this in different ways. So I'll just say that is a lot of hours of television to spend on this one event, particularly on something that is still very raw and open for a lot of people. So you may want to avoid those, or if you are curious to find out more about them, particularly from the Israeli perspective, they will be on Paramount Plus and HBO Max, respectively, on October 7th.
And that's One Day in October and Red Alert.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry. I like Big Brother. I like Peacemaker. And I like Serial Killers. Can you help me with anything about that?
Sure can, Wendy. You might want to check out, and I'll put a big asterisk after the might, Monster, the Ed Gein story, which just premiered on Netflix on Friday, this past Friday. This is the third of the Monster anthology series, which has also been Monster in terms of ratings for Netflix. We got one on Lyle and Eric Menendez. We got one on, oh my gosh, one of my, I forgot his name, Jeffrey Dahmer was the other one.
I saw them both.
Yes, and Ed Gein is the latest one to get the treatment. If you don't know him, you definitely know his cultural impact. He inspired Psycho. He inspired the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He inspired the Silence of the Lambs. So big impact there. This one stars Charlie Hunnam, which I believe you like Sons of Anarchy, right? Am I imagining that, Wendy?
I never saw an episode of that. I'm sorry.
Never mind. I was thinking
that's okay.
I was joking. That was a joke on my part.
But the guy from there, I'm aware of him.
Yes. So Charlie Hunnam stars as Ed Gein. There's also Tom Hollander is in it, Laurie Metcalf, and a bunch of other folks. And I said the might at the beginning because critics really don't like this show at all. All of the previous Monster shows as well have gotten kind of a critical drubbing because they feel like they're potentially a little sensational. They're irresponsible in terms of their approach to this stuff. But people continue to be very, very interested in serial killers. And the interesting thing that this one does beyond what generally people think are really good performances in it is it does deal with the cultural impact of Ed Gein beyond the fact that he was a serial killer, he was a murderer, he was a grave robber. It takes a look at why he has been so impactful to pop culture, which is pretty interesting. So if you want to check that out, all 8 episodes are on Netflix now.
All right. And the final project from the late, great Norman Lear. Tell us about that.
Sure. This is a show called Boots, and this is coming out on October 9th on Netflix. Like you said, it's the final project that Norman Lear worked on. It's a comedy drama about a secretly gay American teenager who joins the military alongside his straight best friend in the 1990s. It's based on The Pink Marine by Greg Cope-White and stars Mile Heiser, Vera Farmiga, and a bunch of other folks. And, you know, Norman Lear, for the most part, really didn't miss while he was alive. So this is definitely going to be one to check out when it debuts on October 9th.
Okay, and another text from the 630 area code. I loved Reservation Dogs. So I was interested in the new series with Ethan Hawke called The Lowdown. Any good? And what's the connection?
Yeah, so The Lowdown is created by Sterling Harjo, who created Reservation Dogs. This is a very different show, but I love it. It's so good. It just premiered on September 23rd on FX. You can also stream it, I believe, the next day on Hulu, and it's only 3 episodes in, so time to catch up. Stars Ethan Hawke as, I'm forgetting the word, I think he calls it a truth historian, is what he calls himself. But basically, he's a hangdog journalist who is very much like the dude from The Big Lebowski. He's hangdog, he's kind of drunk or hungover most of the time, and he gets embroiled in this mystery in his small town that involves the death. This happens right off, so it's not really a spoiler, but the death of Tim Blake Nelson, this guy who is part of a large family who controls the town that also includes Kyle MacLachlan, who's running for mayor of the town. Gian Triplehorn is in it. Peter Dinklage shows up later on. And it's basically him going further and further down into this mystery Chinatown style as he gets sucked into it. So it is an hour-long drama. It's not a half-hour comedy like Reservation Dogs, but it's still very funny. A lot of the time, you still get a lot of that Sterling Harjo humor, and it's just great. It's going to be 8 episodes, as I said, 3 right now. You can stream the first 3 on Hulu right now. Highly recommend checking it out.
The Lowdown. Perfect. All right. He's Alex Zalman, host and producer of Comic Book Club podcast, and you can find him at comicbookclublive.com. Alex, always a pleasure.
You too, Wendy. Thanks so much. Great talking to you.